This club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir. How you doing? Whew. But the hair of our chinny-chin-chin certainly wasn't an instant classic by any regard, but 1-0, it's all that matters. 3 points against West Bromwich Albion at home. United get their first home win of the season. You know, wasn't vintage stuff, but coming out of international break, how you feeling?
It was a little shaky for me. I mean, Manchester United against 18th place West Brom, championship side coming up under Slaven Bilic, it's got to do better. That being said, West Brom well-rested during international break. You know, United, a lot of internationals, some knocks, like we'll talk about Paul Pogba a little bit later. You know, it was nervy. We looked like we almost gave up the pen. They hit the post. We did create maybe a little too late. I would like to see a little more urgency in the first half to get that goal. You got to be scoring in the first half against West Brom. You got to set the tone early so that, you know, you can get Bruno off the pitch. This idea that we have to play the same 11 every game, I'm just worried about minutes. We need to be rotating and doing it against the easy sides in an easy way. I feel like we always do it the hard way.
I mean, I had no problem with the 11. I was happy to see Mata coming in. I was actually happy to see Matic coming in, right? Because McTominay played a lot of games over international break, doing good stuff for Scotland. You don't want him to be slotting right in because I'd like to think he can get a little bit of a rest. That being said, we had our chances early. Tony Martial had a couple of good ones, should have scored, and then we kind of took our foot off the gas a little bit, came back in the second half. It was closer than it needed to be. It was way closer than it needed to be, but that being said, we got the 3 points, and it's a lot of fixtures coming real quick, sir.
Yeah, John Stone was a great keeper. I mean, he came up with a ton of saves, like you said, former United Academy product on his day. He made it tough for us. Like you said, Martial could have had that early goal. Great save. I mean, Bruno teed him up. But when it's going that way, you'd like to see us create more, a little more urgency. I just felt like we kind of let West Brom in it, and they're a poor, poor side. We have to measure it. It's like, you got to be playing better against poor sides. You got to make it look easy. You got to turn the screws to them. You got to impose your will. I don't think I saw that today. I will give them a pass because it was a hectic international break for our side. You look how many internationals there were. While West Brom has 2 weeks, pretty much a bye week, getting ready for United, you could see that. But Tuesday against Istanbul, no excuses. We got to come out hot. We got to be dominating at home, sir. We can't be doing this nervy penalty 1-0 wins. That's not what Manchester United is about. We need to be hitting three, letting in one. We got to take risks. And I don't think I saw Ole with this lineup take enough risks for the opponent.
Yeah, I'm not sure I agree with you. I think it's all about getting results. And we've got plenty of 1-0 scrap buys in our history on the way to great, bigger
West
and better
things.
Yeah, against West Brom, against Nottingham Forest, against whoever you need to do in order to pick up points and move on to the next one. You're right. It wasn't a great performance, but we could talk all day about
turn up the heat in the pod room. Alex is fired up.
As we should be. I'm sure if you went on Twitter right now, people are unhappy. They want goals just like you. It should be 3-0. No, we should be pouring on against a poor West Brom side. We should have had more intent. I don't disagree with that. But you just said it. It was international break. We had players all over. We had players in South America, around the world, in 2 weeks, sir. Playing games.
The excuse machine's being revved up. This is West Brom. This is a poor side. United have to look better. We have to look better against it. We played really conservative against Chelsea. We played really conservative against Arsenal. And to be honest, it's the same conservatism against West Brom. Look, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, some might say his job is on the line. And if you're a poker player and you're playing for all your chips, you're going to be more conservative. But what I saw today, the 4-2-3-1, it was pretty conservative going up against a bad West Brom.
I don't think it was conservative. I don't think he didn't pack the box. He's playing. Mata creates. Mata with Bruno has been good. This is not like he didn't play three at the back and was worried about a West Brom team. I think if anything, Matic looked a little off. Mata looked a little off. Martial looked a little off like he did in internationals. He had a lot of chances for France, wasn't scoring. Today, a bunch of good chances, wasn't scoring. And even Marcus, he had some good passing, but his first touch let him down on a couple good chances from balls over the top from Bruno Fernandes. So the team's a little rusty. And it's like, I know you want perfection. So do I. I hear you.
But you got to be doing it against the easy teams. So if you can't do it against the Chelsea's, the Arsenal's, the cities of the world, you got to be doing it against the West Brom's. And I just kind of you need to be consistent. We got to be consistent. And I see us struggling consistently. That's the only thing I see is a struggling and pipping teams consistently versus like we need to be playing some fast paced, free flowing attacking football, creating constant chances, scoring, spreading the love. And right now it's coming hard for United.
I mean, we won. I think you're being a little bit like we didn't win the game. We won. We kept the clean sheet. We basically shut them down. They had a couple half chances. But I think United were pretty assured. I mean, you wouldn't have been shocked if we gave up a goal just because of brain dumb defending. But today they looked pretty assured. That being said, like there were some chances.
The bar. I mean,
how many big saves did Johnson come up with? Like early?
Three or four. You're right. I could be unfair because you could say Johnson had a hell of a game, but you know, there's a certain bar for Manchester United. And you know, when I say on the last pod, I think we're going to win the title. It's not by Pip and West Brom with a penalty at home. Sir, look, we can talk all day. We're heated. The pod, the bunker, it's cold, but we're hot. Coming in hot off international break, the American Red Devils. That's right, for fans, by fans. If you want to support us, you can support us directly on Patreon. We don't have any advertising in this podcast. We want to be supported by you, the fans, because we think that is the best way we can keep our content independent and true to the fan base. If you're interested in supporting us on Patreon, go to www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We have a few different tiers, anything from $1 a month to $20 a month. We have shirts, scarves, pins, sticker giveaway as well. Quick shout out to Brandon Hoffman, our latest Patreon subscriber, and a big shout out to him. He is on the Sir Alex Ferguson tier. That is the top tier. So we'll be sending out a shirt, pins, stickers to him. Thank you for subscribing and supporting the podcast. And if you're not into the Patreon subscription, we have great merchandise on our website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. Click on store. We got scarves. We got shirts, pins, our new logo. We just got those stickers in. If you want to grab one, pick one up and check out our blog. That is where we're blasting out all of our fan-generated content, sir. You're the editor-in-chief. How's the blog going?
Blog is absolutely ripping. We've got great contributors from around the United States and actually all over the globe at the moment. So if you want to join the growing American Red Devils website blog team, just email us AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. And we are always looking for more contributors. And we're also looking for 5-star reviews on iTunes, sir. If you send in a photo of your 5-star review, maybe with some cheeky banner, even better, and give us your address, we will get you a couple of our new stickers that just came hot off the presses, sir. Stanley Chow Design. You can get it for free, sir. All you need is a sticker.
Sir, we got a great review here. We're going to read it out from ATX Chad. Title, Glory, Glory, Sir. Quote, I was looking for a Manchester United podcast over a year ago and stumbled upon this one. It is exactly what I was looking for. These guys put their hearts into this pod. Commentary, news, transfers, banter, and even some club history. Being American, world football has never had exposure in the U.S., and somehow I became a fan in the early 90s, but I know more now after listening to this pod than I ever did about this club. Hopefully not about the great pod. I don't miss an episode. Well done, sirs. Glory, glory. Look, shout out to ATX Chad. Reviews go a long way. That's the number one way we're found. Drop 5 stars, some cheeky banner, and we'll ship you a sticker, sir. That is the PSA. Appreciate everyone staying with it. Manchester United 1, West Brom Ajabian 0, West Bromwich Albion, West Brom Ajabian, West Brom, however you want to say it, sir, at Old Trafford in the Premier League. Let's get into that lineup. Dave saves world number one in net. Alex, tell me about Telus on the left. Left back, Maguire, Lindelof, center back pairing, Juan, Obi-Wan Bissaka on the right, Fred McTominay, Fred Matic midfield, Rashford, Fernandez, Mata with Fernandez in the hole, and Martial number 9. The bench, notable, Henderson, Twanzebe, Williams, James, McTominay, Van de Beek, Cavani, no Paul Pogba, sir. He's got a knock. Played lights out, 3 games for France. Maybe not lights out. Played a lot of minutes for France. Doesn't got time for the Red Devils.
He's a happy guy. Can't blame him. This starting 11, I was excited to see it because Lindelof, Maguire, want to see consistency there. Makes sense with Matic coming in for McTominay, who played a lot of minutes with Scotland. And you need Matic through this run of it because we're going to need him. He didn't have the best day, but you're going to need minutes out of him. Mata with Bruno, I like that. And Telus getting his Premier League debut at home. It's got to be a win.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I'm surprised at the strength of this lineup. And this is where, you know, you're getting, you know, you can tell, Alex, the temperature just turns up the volume on the pod. Got to turn him down a little bit when I start talking here. There's got to be some more rotation. Where's Dan James? You know, where's Donny Van de Beek? Where's Twan Zabe? You're playing Istanbul Tuesday. You look at the schedule that we got. We need to have confidence in rotating the squad. And this reminds me of the run into last year where we're just playing the same 11-11 the whole time, and we're going to see injuries. We saw that with Shaw. Too much overuse on Luke Shaw. B-Dubs didn't get enough playing time. He goes down with injury. Matic, at the end of this match, I think he was haggard. He needed a sub, didn't get it. He pulled up with maybe an injury. We don't know. So I think I'd like to see Ole rotate against a really poor West Brom to play a stronger side, get Champions League done, and then kick on from there. I just don't know if he has confidence. Maybe he doesn't have confidence in these players. I don't know.
And also, I don't think Istanbul's better than West Brom. I know West Brom is a poor team, but arguably they're better than Istanbul. And the league, we needed those points, right? You need to get in the top half just for Ole to get take some of the pressure off of him. You know, making it out of the Champions League group is not necessarily make or break for him to keep his job. Winning against West Brom is. So I don't fault them for coming out with a starting 11, not benching Bruno. Donny did get minutes for the Netherlands, as did Dan James. He was playing a lot for Wales. So anyway, hop into it.
There's only been one game where Donny started at 10. I agree. It's like, if you looked at the next set, if you looked at the set of fixtures, when is the right time to like swap him out? I just think Ole needs to have more confidence into switching out like for like. Because Bruno's going to get overused. He's going to play against Istanbul, too. And that's a three-day turnaround. You know, then we look to the weekend, sir. It's not going to be easy.
No, I mean, I'm not saying you should necessarily take out Bruno. The problem is, like, Bruno, he creates so much. He's so important to us going forward. But I'm all about playing Donny just on the pitch. He can play in a front three. You can play behind Bruno. He can play all over the pitch. So I just like him because he's a creative player. He's got good energy. He's got a good work rate. I think you're likely to see him start on Tuesday.
No, I know I'm being a little harsh, but I'm only harsh when you look at the fixtures we have, where we got to start rotating, and we need to get Dan James some minutes. We need to get some players some minutes. And it's like, if you don't do that, then you're going to have injuries. Then you're going to be forced to use them. Their confidence is low. You know, Sir Alex is the best at that, man management, sir. Jump in, first half. You heard it here. Sir Alex Ferguson, he was good at man management, right?
Very good. Apparently. I'll tell you what.
He knows a thing or two.
He won a couple trophies.
Darren Gibson, dude. He made Darren Gibson a title-winning player. Manchester United come out a bit flat, letting West Brom have some of the ball to start. Second minute, good early chance for Martial. Headed effort forced John Stone into a nice save. Again, John Stone, we're going to be talking about him a lot. 16th minute, great chance for United and great buildup. I mean, this was one of the best. Rashford to Bruno, Martial in the box, forces John Stone into a save. I mean, the pass by Bruno here, I think Martial had to put laces through it. He kind of put it with a side foot. I think this has to be a goal. I mean, he was teed up. Bruno set it up. Martial denied by John Stone.
I mean, when you get into this game, you have to admit that there were good chances, and this was a big one. A fit and firing Martial scores that all day. Like the Martial that was playing at the end of last year, that was honestly some of the best play we've seen from him at United, scores this near post. I don't know, but good early chance for United, forcing it on him.
20th minute, Matic, a little slow, gets nutmegged here by Carlin Grant, ends up with a good effort going just wide. Again, this... the midfield too, turning it over and then quick attack against our exposed center back line. That is a consistent theme we've seen this year. Hero is Matic with the nutmeg. 26th minute, penalty shout for Martial. It was soft, checked by VAR, rightly not called. Sir, you agree?
Yeah, it's not a penalty. You know, Martial probably, he's going for it. You can't blame him for going for it, but it's not a pen. So move on with it. No big deal.
33rd minute. I mean, this is our whole team. More great play from Bruno Fernandes. Great pass finds Mata, but his cutback is picked off by the keeper. He couldn't get it to Martial. Again, Bruno, everything's going through Bruno Fernandes at the moment. 36th minute, Maguire takes the ball down well and then just rockets it into the center back's face on West Brom wearing those ugly kits, sir. Those are those Glazer out green and gold kits they're wearing.
I didn't mind the color seeing an Old Trafford. I wanted to see the whole stands in that color, to be honest. But yeah, shout out to Harry. Harry played well today. He played confidently. I mean, the way he took this ball down and just like smoked it, it was goal bound. It could have been a goal if center back's head wasn't in the way. But Harry played well, looked confident in the air, and like they had no chance in the air today against Harry Maguire.
Yeah, and I liked how he was pressing forward too. Yeah. Maguire played well for England. He comes into United looking good. I mean, another case where he's getting minutes in England. His confidence is growing as the season is kicking on. I love to see that from our captain. 42nd minute, half chance for West Brom goes close. That's it. Halftime, sir. What do you make of it? We're grilling burgers at halftime. You know, lunchtime game. You got to eat, right?
You got to eat. It's a luxury to watch United at 12 o'clock on a Saturday. I mean, that is a luxurious start time. So we enjoyed it. You got to say, more intent. Take your chances and, you know, score. You just, like, you have to be clinical. You have to be direct. And you have to be energetic and just, like, go at it. You can't let back. They're not going to score. Like, you know, they're going to score on themselves. You have to go make it happen.
Yeah, it's that feeling where, you know, Martial hits that early chance. We're off to the races. We're struggling into the 70th minute. You know, that's kind of that feeling where you got to be able, United have to, they have to know what that goal means in the first half. They should be working hard for it. I didn't see that as the half ended. So look, we might have let West Brom back in. It's our second half. United start with drama right out of the second half. I mean, this is kind of another theme. We come out sluggish, 46th minute penalty against Bruno. It's close, but rightly overturned by VAR. I just don't know what Bruno's doing here.
It's a Bruno tackle, but it's in the box, and he probably should be being a little bit more like, you're in the box, and people go down. We go down pretty easily. Yep. So other teams are going to go down, rightfully, pretty easily. He should know better. It is a tackle. I mean, he got the ball, close. It's like, it was close.
I saw the replay. Full speed, looks like a pen. You know, see the replay, it's not a pen, mainly because the awkward position of the West Brom player wasn't going to do anything with it, and Bruno did get a lot of the ball. So, you know, this one overturned. Pray to the VAR gods, sir. That's why we pray to the VAR gods. 52nd minute, Dave saves, earning those wages, sir. Massive kick save and a beauty from David De Gea. This is end-to-end stuff. We almost have a penalty. De Gea has this amazing save, and then, sir, you know, we jump into it. 54th minute.
With him, it breaks for Mata. Again, it's a big shout for the penalty, and again the referee has pointed to the spot, this time for the handball, and this time it's Manchester United awarded the penalty, conceded there by Darnell Furlong. It is Bruno Fernandes, and it's saved by Johnston. Got a brilliant hand to it to keep that one out, and Fernandes is foiled. It's another twist in the tail. Another huge save from Sam Johnston.
He's having one of those nights, Sam Johnston, isn't he?
And this time he scores emphatically.
Bruno from the spot, he gets the keeper off his line early. That's why the first penalty was saved by John Stone, but VAR overturned that one. Again, praying to the VAR God, sir. This game had VAR all over it. We have all the Chelsea fans on the text thread. Conspiracy, United, Everton fans, United, it's rigged, it's rigged. Guess what? Chelsea fans, Everton fans, they watch Manchester United games. We don't watch their games.
Nope.
That sums it up.
Dude, United against the world. Welcome to the club. It's United against the world. Get used to it. I got nothing wrong with that. Bruno doing what Bruno does. I wish he didn't have to retake it, but the fact is, like, Johnston was a mile and a half off his line, comically so. So far off, I'm glad they're finally making penalties be retaken, because goalies have been kind of getting away with this for a while. The second time Bruno's had a penalty saved is a little worrying, but he ices it when it actually matters.
He barely got his hand to it. And he was off the line. So look,
a mile off the line, but not even close off the line.
And that's why the hop gives that advantage. And credit to Mata. He got the handball. It was close, but again, clear handball given the rules in the game today in 2020. Manchester United have one, right? We're going to put another one in the net, right? It's West Brom. It's easy, right? Because we got 62nd minute. Manchester United, legend, number seven. The number seven. It's light on those shoulders of Cavani, sir. Cavani for Mata. I thought this was a good sub. Ole pulled the trigger early. You know, let's press him. 65th minute, West Brom, worldy of a hit. Hits the bar. Again, the better chance. I mean, if you look at the better chance in the second half, it goes to West Brom.
That was a chance outside the box. I'm not sure that that's the better chance in the game.
Hits the bar. I mean, I didn't see United this far in the second. Well, we got the handball and scored, but I didn't see us generate.
Well, this seemed to turn United on, because after, you'll see as you go down, there's some chances. All of a sudden, Bruno woke the team up, and all of a sudden, he was pulling all the strings, because everything came through Bruno today. Where would we be without Bruno? We'd probably be like way worse off. Ole would probably be out of a job if he never got Bruno.
probably playing on Thursdays.
Definitely.
Without Bruno Fernandes, 67th minute United with a great chance, this time from Rashford, forcing John Stone a terrific save. Rashford should have done better. I think he should have scored. But again, credit the keeper, right? I mean, some of this I'm kind of criticizing Martial and Rashford for not scoring, but they were good saves. It seems like goalies who used to play for United turn up big against Manchester United always.
Former United players always turn up against United, and then, you know, certain goalies just have a day against United in general, and then you combine those two together, and he was, as soon as he saved that early Martial chance, you're like, uh-oh, he's going to make us earn it.
Yeah, and 71st minute, more coming from Bruno, finds Maguire, who forces another good save. Then Bruno finds Cavani, who has another shot save. Great pass by Bruno. I mean, Bruno is unlocking everything. And that's what I'm worried about, is we're so reliant on Bruno that when we have to rest him, do we have a chance, sir? And when, what is that game? Is that Southampton? You know, I bet Bruno's going to be playing in West Brom, Istanbul, and Southampton. He's going to start every single game. And then when do you rest him? It's really a tough question for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. We're talking Bruno again, 76th minute. Finds Rashford, another pass over the top. But Rashford's first touch let him down.
Should have been a goal. I mean, that's a goal.
Yeah.
Like a sharp Rashford, that's a goal. Bruno has probably a hat trick of assists. I mean, he was on fire today, unlocking everybody. The team is just looked a little rusty.
I was disappointed in the Telus Rashford connect. The left-hand side for United wasn't firing. I thought with Telus in there, for some reason when Telus wasn't a wingback, he was neutralized. You know, maybe Ole needs to play a different formation with Telus and with Istanbul. Maybe we go back three. 79th minute, Donny on for Rashford. 83rd minute, McTominay sauce coming on for Fred. And then Matic, he actually pulled up with, I want to say, a hammy. I thought that McTominay was coming on for Matic all day, but Ole left him on. 92nd minute, 4 minutes of stoppage time. That was a little outlandish. Great chance for Martial, denied at the last moment. A good block. So, look, we sweated it out in the early second half. I think we were in control as we made the subs late in the second half, sir. Again, too nervy for me against West Brom, but United come away with the 3 points. It's a results-based game. Ole's thinking that right now. How does he rotate? When does he rotate? That's the big question. And look, if Ole win, we go on a winning run, you know, my criticism is completely invalid. I'm willing to say I'm wrong. But, you know, West Brom is a good team to rotate against.
No, yeah, and you want it to be less nervy moments on the way there to a victory, because there's a lot of nervy moments. They're probably more than there needed to be, you know.
I would like
less
not
than
to
other
need,
games.
I would like to not need Bruno Fernandes against West Brom.
Well, the thing is like he created so much today that it was only 1-0. He's a little nervous. That's the more nerve-wracking thing, is like he created so much today, we had to score more goals than just the one goal. Cavani needed a goal, Martial needed a goal, and Rashford should have had a goal plus his penalty.
He should be having a jog against West Brom, and he's out there working his ass off, and I like, that's not sustainable. When I see a team that's so reliant on one guy just like having to give 110 every game, you know, it's with these fixtures, it's going to catch up to us. What happens if Bruno goes down? You know, it's not like, it's going to be a tough line of fixtures, sir. Who do we play after Southampton? We play PSG, then West Ham, then RB Leipzig, then City, then Sheffield United, then Leeds and Everton. I mean, come on. When are we going to rest Bruno Fernandes?
He's not going to rest. He'll play every game. I hate to say he's not getting rested.
Sir, he's durable. Not that durable. All right, match reaction stats. United 64% of the ball at West Brom's 36, like that. Shots on target 6-2, corners 8-2. West Brom, 16 fouls on United. They hacked us. And Manchester United beaten West Brom in the Premier League at Old Trafford for the first time since November 2015, when we beat them 2-0, having failed to win their last two such games without scoring a goal, drawn one, lost one. United have won their first home game of the season, ending a run of six consecutive games without a victory, drawn three, lost three since July, which was 5-2 against Bournemouth. Ooh, Eddie Howe, your man. Bruno Fernandes' opener was Manchester United's first home league goal in 324 minutes of football since his second-minute penalty in the 1-6 defeat against Spurs in October. That's poor. Sorry, we need more upbeat notes. This is a win. Since the start of last season, 16% of Manchester United's Premier League goals have been penalties, the highest ratio of any team to have played in both seasons, and half of Bruno Fernandes' goals for Manchester United have been penalties, the highest ratio of any player to score for the club in the competition. Varchester United, you know, we win. Hated or never ignored. Screw the haters.
Yeah. If you worried about the haters all day, you wouldn't sleep very well. So as a Manchester United fan, let them chirp. That's all you got to say. Let them chirp, because We'll be back to the promised land at some point, and on the way, we're going to have to take a lot of shit from our rivals.
Sir, but what do we know? Let's check in with the man, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Congratulations, back-to-back league wins for the first time this season. Just give us your thoughts on the performance tonight.
Well, it's important to get the first win at home. I think there's been a lot said about it, written about it, and I think you can see towards the end we were a bit edgy that we needed to hang on to this win. We could have, should have probably scored a couple more to make it an easier finish, but then on 1-0 you're never sure, and it's a tight call both ways.
Two big calls in the game, a real turning point in the first 10 minutes of the second half. Give us your thoughts on the first penalty that was overturned.
Well, I looked at the penalty this morning, or this afternoon, probably Villa Brighton, and there's contact on the ball and contact with a man. In my head, it might be a penalty, and I think maybe there as well we're a tad lucky, but that's none of them are given, so maybe the rules are different to how I interpret them.
And then Bruno has to really keep his composure to retake penalty at the other end.
Yeah, but he wants to do that. He's okay with that, and we got the same with David early on in the season when he's just an inch off the line, and unfortunate for young Sam, he's had a fantastic game again. Good to see him, but it was hard to beat him today, and that was the only way we could do it.
Was tonight then more about the points rather than the performance, particularly after the break?
Yeah, definitely. After international break, we said it in the dressing room after. It's difficult, you know. We've not worked together. We waited until this morning to get the prep for this game done, and that is never easy. That when everyone's been away for 10 days. So delighted with the points. We know we can do better, but 3 points are 3 points, and we got a clean sheet.
I suppose that.
And we got a clean sheet. Ole, Mr. Nice Guy, what do you make of it?
I mean, I like the honesty of Ole. He's like, hey, we got a little lucky on the penalty. That's pretty honest of Ole. You got to do better. We got to create more. But at the end of the day, we have to be honest. It's like the players have been running around nonstop. Probably didn't have a lot of time to prep. And we kick off from here. He's not thrilled with it, and we can do better, but we got to do better because there's going to be better opposition, and we're going to have to perform all at the level that Bruno was playing at today. He was running around all 90 minutes, and you're right, it's not sustainable unless the whole team is rallying around that same kind of work ethic. He can't be the only one that's just like nonstop.
No, absolutely, and you know, Ole doesn't give you a lot of tells, but if you watch that video, that presser, when they ask about Bruno taking it again at the other end, he acts like no one is grabbing that ball from Bruno Fernandes.
No,
he's like he actually gives a tell where he's just like, you think anyone has a say in that? That's Bruno. Like you said, Bruno's a cleaner. He's grabbing this team by the scruff of the neck. Ain't nobody taking the ball from the penalty spot. Bruno is going to take it again. and I love that about him. And that's why, you know, when you talk about playing for the badge, you talk about this club, he gets it. He absolutely gets it. Some people will say, you know, Paul Pogba might not get it, but Bruno Fernandes, you know, we need to bottle whatever he's got. Send it to the academy, lads.
No, that was a tell because his face was like, "Are you kidding me, dude?"
He's like, "We don't have a choice."
Do you know who who number 18 is on my team, on my squad? This guy is a big time player. He is a leader. He is a cleaner, as they say, because he's all the time relentless, unbelievable. That guy has no off switch.
Look, big 3 points in the league, sir. We're not checking the table. We don't check the table here at the American Red Devils until, what do you say, after Boxing Day?
I think that's fair.
You can say after January 1, but, you know, I'd say after Boxing Day, you can check the table. But, sir, you hear that in the distance.
It's coming.
It's building. sir. That's right. Istanbul, Başakşehir versus Manchester United at Old Trafford, Wednesday, November 24th. That's right. Day before Thanksgiving here. Happy Thanksgiving to all the American Red Devils around the world in the United States. Noon Pacific. Oh, I totally screwed up the time of the match.
It's Tuesday, ain't it?
It's Tuesday.
All good. It's sorry, all good.
It's the agenda. I was all about the Champions League music. Look, I'll get the right time here, guys. You know what we do here at the podcast, sir. We do it live.
Let's hear it.
Istanbul. Still pre-Thanksgiving, 2 days before Thanksgiving, November 24th, noon on Tuesday, sir. No, Wednesday was the wrong date. Last time we played Istanbul, they beat us. They pipped us 2-1. Demba Ba stole it with that long run. And, you know, it was a tough look. Losing Istanbul, it should have been a win. We were sluggish going to Turkey, sir.
Excuse factor. Here we go. We basically didn't show up. They outplayed us that day. So we need to show a lot more grit, a lot more heart at Old Trafford. Getting the first win is important at OT for the season. But now you got to do the job in Champions League, right? You did it against the big dog, PSG. You did it against RB Leipzig, the new money team, Carabao Cup. And now you got to do it against the fodder, the cannon fodder. That's Istanbul. You gave them the first win. Now you got to like make it right and do it at home.
Well, you know what the real thing? They got to come from Turkey to Manchester, right? Yep. And that trip should not be underrated. They did lose. So since we played Istanbul, they've in the three matches, they've lost 2-1-1. And today they lost to Besiktas, one of the big teams in Turkey. So they're kind of on the slide, and they got to do the travel. So that will be a benefit for Manchester United. We did a little history last time about Istanbul. A little more details. They're one of the big six in Turkey, based in Istanbul, along with Fenerbahce, Galatasaray, you know, Fred, Besiktas, Faith, Kurgamuk, SK, and Kampasa. I don't even know. Kasımpaşa, sir. Dying on the pronunciation. This is tough here. The club was founded in 1990. It's Istanbul, Bukashir, Belediyespor, Istanbul Metropolitan Municipality. Founded in 1990. A little history about 1990. Home Alone. Sir.
Home Alone FC.
What a great movie, Home Alone. They've actually won their first title. It was last season. Jumped them in the Champions League. We saw Istanbul. They got Demba Ba. You know, Steven Gerrard. He slipped. Gave it to Demba Ba. We all know the song. Singing songs of Demba Ba still. And he is back. Istanbul Raphael also features for them as well. Little look into Group H here. Istanbul, bottom of the table on goal difference. If you could believe it, Manchester United, we are top of the table. Goal difference plus 5, 6 points over RB Leipzig, who's number 2, 6 points. Their goal difference is minus 2. PSG's in third with 3 points. And then Istanbul behind them on goal difference, 3 points. Wide open. RB and PSG are playing. That's going to be a huge game. Sir, we're almost rooting for PSG there, right?
I don't know. I would like RB to ice them, and it's just us versus RB for the top of the group, because we should be able to do. We got to do the job against Istanbul. If we don't, then shame on us, because we, you know, you basically wasted all your good work against RB and PSG to let it all go to waste against Istanbul. So we have to show up, big game, and I think they're going to be pumped up, because I know we're all disappointed. It wasn't a big win, but that means a lot to the players. You know, they all made sure to congratulate Bruno Fernandes after his penalty. It was a huge win, just because it's like, it's gritty and you got to get those 3 points. Now we got to do the same thing against Istanbul. They're going to show up and they're going to want to be like, oh, we can do it to you at home again.
Nah, I think we're going to be able to smoke Istanbul. You know, that trip, you know, you're going to Turkey and they're going to come to, it's like, that is a major factor in it. I have to think that that's got to wear on the players. You know, Istanbul, this is a must win. So who cares what happens to RB PSG? We don't control right, yeah. that. We do control Istanbul at home. Must win. We need to get 9 points. Keeps the pressure on qualifying. Ole said that we needed 10 to get there. That will give us 9. And then we have RB and PSG to get pretty much 1 point to get through. We're good on goal difference. If you look at everything else, that is to our advantage. So the 10 points would even be probably the mark, you could actually say it, right? But we can't control that. Let's focus on Istanbul. Let's smoke them at home, sir. Let's not try to sweat it out. I don't want to be sweating like we were against West Brom. If we're sweating like we were against West Brom against Istanbul, to me, that's a red flag.
There are plenty of red flags. You're going to be sweating, bro. We're going to be sweating. I would take a win. We need to win. And if we have to sweat a little bit on the way, I'm not that fussed about it. I just need
this
to
get this guy likes to sweat. Alex likes to sweat.
Sir, I'm used to stressing. This is 2020, baby. This has been a stressful year. And we've been United fans since 2004. And it's been stressful to be United fans 2013, especially. So it's all relative. And it's never going to be easy. No games are ever easy. They're going to come in and they're going to want to impress because they got nothing else to play for. You know, they're getting beat up in the league. They want to still hold their head high in the Champions League. They think they got a chance. They got 3 points. So we need to just put the knife to them early and just like you said, just like don't even give them a chance.
You know what's funny is that when you say 2013 was our last title, it feels like it was 1997. That's how long. This 7 years feels so long. It's incredible. Right, because we had so many Europa Leagues and Champions Leagues and managers. You know, it's like so much change, chop and change, chop and change. It feels so much longer. At 7 years, it doesn't sound like a lot of time, but as a United fan, it's an eternity from tasting that title.
People act like we haven't won a title in 40 years. I mean, like, you know, we haven't won.
Well, we might not win it for another 40. That's the problem.
You're right. With the Glazers, it'll be a long time. Ortega's, come get us. Please, Ortega's. Somebody. Please, Ortega's.
Mackenzie Bezos.
She's not going
to. Physioroom.com. Injuries update. Phil Jones. Who cares? Luke Shaw, thigh injury. He could be back mid to early December. Mason Greenwood could feature against Istanbul. Bye, same. Pogba. He has a knock that's being assessed, and there's no return date. Same with Jesse Lingard. Kind of strange there. Look, Cavani featured. That was good. Martial, his back. Lindelof, his back. So there were some bounces, like we said there would be, from the injury list we went over for the West Brom preview. Given those the injuries, Istanbul's coming to Old Trafford, sir. Who is your starting 11?
So this is who I got. I got Dino in net. Give him a run out. Back four, AWB, Lindelof, Maguire, and Timothy Fosu-Mensah. I'm going to do a midfield of Fred, McTominay, Bruno, Donny van de Beek, Rashford, and Mason Greenwood. Who you got?
Timothy Fosu-Mensah, sir. What you smoking? Sir, I got De Gea, this Dave Saves in world number one in net. Dino lost against Istanbul. I got to break that juju. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Maguire, Lindelof, Telles, Fred, McTominay, Bruno, Rashford, Martial, Dan James. Need to see Dan James out there against Istanbul. I think it's perfect, sir. Booking the bookies. They have us odds on favorites here against Istanbul. Minus 400, Manchester United to win. Plus 500, the draw. Plus 1200 for Istanbul to win. Even bigger favorites than West Brom, who almost pipped us. First time goal scorer for Manchester United, Bruno Fernandes and Cavani, plus 333. Martial plus 350, Rashford plus 350, Igalo plus 350, Mason Greenwood plus 450. The bookies are seeing something in Anthony Martial not scoring, so they're pipping those odds. Interesting stuff from the bookmakers. Cavani and Fernandes more likely to score than Martial. You think he's getting dropped?
He might. He might, but he also might get started because, this is a team he should be able to score against. This is not a very good team. So you would think he should start and get his goal, and that way he can kick on from the league game, which is a big game, because Southampton are not a team to be underestimated. They're playing very good football this year.
No, and yeah, but I have to think Martial's going to start. That's kind of disrespect from the bookmakers there. So given we know with the bookies, we have the odds, we have the injuries, we have our starting 11s, what is your score prediction?
I'm calling 2-0. You know, we never blow it wide open, but it's always in control. They don't threaten too much. Do the job. Kick on to the weekend.
Sir, I'm going to say this match reminds me of, what was that team we played right before lockdown?
Lask.
This feels like...
Lask FC.
This feels like a Lask game. 4-0. Manchester United, barn burner. Everyone's getting on the score sheet. We're getting Bruno. We're going to get Donny. Martial gets his goal. Rashford as well. It's just going to be barn burner. We're due for it. If we don't have it, I'm going to get concerned. We can't be like, we need to be starting this run. We need the momentum, sir. Ole's streaky. We need to start getting that Ole's at the wheel with that. If we're not playing the Ole's at the wheel music, it's going to be a long December.
Oh, yeah.
Because right? You know that kind of like momentum we just feed off of every game, and it's easy. We score early. Bruno comes off. He gets rested. Like, we need that type of momentum into these holiday fixtures, and I haven't felt those sails kind of fill up with wind yet.
No, not yet, but we got to win. We started with a win. We started 3 points, and that is the start of something. You know, it wasn't perfect. It wasn't a complete 90 minutes of good football, but there were glimpses of some good football. So we move on to the next one, and we do a job.
All right. United in the news, sir. Manchester United hit by cyber attack ahead of Premier League clash with West Bromwich Albion.
Poor manunited.com.
Per ESPN, the quote from the club, our cyber defenses identify the attack and shut down the affected systems to contain the damage and protect data. Club media channels, including our website, mobile app, are unaffected, and we are not currently aware of any breach on personal data associated with our fans. Our customers, sir, what did these hackers do? Vicious criminal cyber attack. Did they steal money?
Nope.
Did they do anything vicious or criminal?
They did less than the owners of this club have done to this club.
They literally posted on the club's website a Glazers Out article, which, you know, to be fair, as long as they didn't maliciously steal anyone's data or anything like that, which, you know, I'm sure Ed Woodward will make the most of it, they pretty much gained access to United's like blog software and posted a blog on the website for all the information that's been made public, because on the website there was a post, a statement from the Glazers, and it goes on to read, quote, when we bought the club, our long-term goal was to generate as much money as possible, not success on the field. We couldn't care less about trophies, especially when we are not even fans of the club. We have drained well over £1 billion from Manchester United with little opposition. As a family, we call United fans sheep because regardless of how much we damage this club and destroy Manchester United's legacy, fans still buy tickets and merchandise. We couldn't get away with this at clubs such as Barcelona or Real Madrid because the fans have much more passion for the club. We would like to thank Manchester United fans for making it so easy to turn this club into a cash cow for the Glazer family. We'd also like to thank Ed Woodward, our chief puppet, who focuses on what's most important to us, the commercial side of the club, and generating as much money as possible for our ventures away from Manchester United. We'd like to assure fans that the club will be sold to new owners once we have taken every penny out of the club and the future of Manchester United is no longer secure. Look, that's a part of it. We tweeted it out. You should read it. You kind of probably read it on our blog, but saying that, like, we will not sell it until we've literally, like you said, taken everything off the carcass and left it bare and broken it down for someone else to come in. That is what they are doing. And to have this on the website, A, tells me their website security is like literally a joke.
Yeah.
Earlier this week, Manchester United's Q1 financials were released early. Like, Woodward is running this team. Like, it starts at the top. It starts with Ed Woodward. Like, we were debating during the game. I like Donny van de Beek, but you look at the midfield too. We need another midfielder. We got rid of Herrera 2 years ago. Where's his replacement? All these questions around Manchester United, and there's no director of football. We're getting hacked. We can't even organize our financials to be released on time. That is a big deal. Like, releasing public financials early by accident. This club it's just falling apart. You can see it. Like, come on, man. This is unacceptable. Anyone knows internet security, it's like, get out of town.
I mean, I agree with everything except, like, I will not be thrown in the same camp of, like, oh, Barcelona and Real Madrid fans would never go for this because they're more passionate. Like, Real Madrid fans are some of the biggest numpties in the world. And Barcelona's board, like, Bartolomeu, just, like, absolutely nosedived that club over the last 5 years.
They might burn them up. I think there'd be maybe more pitchforks out For some reason, United fans, there is more infighting about the owners. Like, you know, like, some people are like pro Glazer.
There's a lot of infighting.
We have trouble, like, unite. Like, it's almost like we should be as snobby as the Barcelona and Real Madrid. There is a point there. I don't think it was made right. I do agree with you that I don't like that. But United fans have let the standard slip. And I think that's because we're such loyal fans that will back this team no matter what, right? Which is kind of like at Manchester United, if the team loses, the Stratford End will sing the team off the pitch no matter what. And at Real Madrid, they'll boo you.
Yeah, whistle you. So that's passion. Exactly. You whistle your own players. It's like because they don't spend $200 million or they're not scoring a goal.
That's not the point of the article. I know. So
the point is that the club is poorly run. The Glazers. What hits me is that you think about that. The sheep line is just like, if they don't care about the club, they're sitting around just like having a laugh, like laughing about like, oh, Manchester United, like how much, oh, we're getting that dividend this year. What's going on? They don't really give a shit. And that's what's sad is like something that so many people care so much about to the point that they have pods on it, talk about it incessantly. It's all they think about. You have these people that own it that are like making money. There's so much money to be made. That's the worst thing is like you could make a shit ton of money if you ran it well. And instead, they're just like, we're lazy and we'll just suck every goddamn ounce of blood out of that stone.
No, well,
they
have put it in the capital, but like we talked about in the last pod, you don't hire Mourinho and kind of back him. You don't hire Ole and kind of back him. You got to come up with a strategy. And like clearly we talked about John Henry Davies. We talked about the secretaries, how things used to work in football, and things change over the years, right? There wasn't a manager, then the manager became the man who did everything. Then now the manager is the man who does the day-to-day, and now the director of football does the long-term planning, strategy, transfers, all this stuff, academy. So clearly that infrastructure has to be in place for Manchester United to succeed, has not been post Sir Alex, and we've been relying on Ed the Clown Woodward running the show, and he's done a bad job. Everything non-commercial, he has done a bad job. Like, it's incredible. They haven't split that into two roles, brought back like David Gill or somebody, or put Van der Sar there. Like, just basically say, hey, you're the guy who deals with everything football related. Woodward, you literally put Maui Jim on the front of everything you can find and like go our separate ways. And the fact they haven't made that move, it seems to be they're just waiting to sell. And right now is not the time. COVID's not the time. And we're going to have to stick with them for a few more years. And it's probably going to be tough. But I hope the next owner comes in, thinks like John Henry Davies, not like Avram Glazer.
No, you don't want to be an Avram Glazer. No one's growing up thinking they want to be an Avram Glazer, other than the wealth. It's just like, they're not. That's not how you run a business.
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'd rather be in the bunker.
I'd rather
be in the bunker, chirping in the microphone about Avram Glazer than be Avram Glazer every goddamn day. Next bit of news, Manchester United tell AC Milan they do not want to sell Dalot's had a good stint at AC Milan so far. The 21-year-old basically just scored in a 3-1 win over Sparta Prague in the European League. He's been playing well. He's been playing on the left and the right. The versatility, all the AC Milan fans like him. But United have told me he's not for sale. For some reason, Dalot didn't feature for us. I guess it was an Ole thing. I don't know. What do you make of Dalot? Should we be selling him? Should we be keeping him? Interesting bit of news here.
No, he's a player that needed minutes, and he's a player that probably wasn't ready for the league. Playing in Italy, a team like AC Milan, who's a solid team, he's getting a decent amount of minutes. Not, you know, the de facto starter. It's exactly what we need, because there's a reason we did not include a buy clause in this. It was just a straight loan because Ole rates him. He's just a defensive liability at the moment in the league. It's a very competitive league, get some minutes.
That's a good defensive liability, and you know the Italians know how to defend. Next bit of news: Amad Diallo sends Manchester United fans wild with training video per Manchester Evening News. United, sir. This is just like, look, he was schooling people in training. I saw the highlights. This is the sleeper.
I know.
This is the sleeper. I'll tell you.
He's a player.
If I was buying jerseys, I'd be buying Chevrolet Diallo, sir. I'd be getting that jersey, you know. But I haven't bought jerseys since Chevrolet came in as a sponsor. The hashtag Glazers out. Try to limit that. I don't buy anything from the store anymore. Diallo looks to be the player, and he's coming in January 4th. He'll be able to feature for Manchester United when the January transfer window opens. The window closes February 1st, sir. It opens the 4th because January 1 is a bank holiday, and then there's a weekend, so the market opens on the 4th. So when will we get Diallo? January 4. I think he's going to be a big boost, because if you look at Manchester United, you look at Juan Mata on the right. I like Mata. Yeah, I guess the West Brom's of the world, not terrible, but we need the width, we need the space, we need the speed, we need the threat, and I think Ahmad can jump in the first team and do the job. Him and Dan James rotating out gives the team a lot better balance.
And he's a right winger. We've needed a right winger for years, and it's like Ole finally got his right winger, not the one he wanted, but Diallo's a player, someone we're excited about, and someone that can contribute to this team, maybe not right away, but definitely this season. So he's going to get minutes. He's going to contribute. He's an exciting young player that's only going to get better. And he'll, you know, slot in and learn from a Cavani, a Mata, a Bruno Fernandes, a Paul Pogba. It's a good squad to join.
Sir, you know.
Bye.
I'm buying Diallo all day. That was probably a little loud there on the soundboard. Whoa.
Sir. Hot mic. Do it live.
We'll do it live. Fuck it.
Yeah, exactly. Look, we're learning the soundboard, sir. We're trying to, Alex jumped out of his seat. It was too loud. Apologies for everyone who just got their ears blown out by that. Bye. I'm bye in Diallo. Fan question, sir. Jumping in at Charlie Ferris. Thank you for all the hot banter on Twitter. Quote, glad we won it, but very meh performance. Hopefully they have more life midweek. I think that hits the nail on the head for me. At Burkett Mets, an ugly but needed win. Could have had a few more goals if we finished more clinically, but West Brom could easily take in the lead if not for Dave saves. Let's hope we're out for revenge on Tuesday. Yes. When are we going to just realize, hey, that was too close. We got to kick into high gear. I'm waiting for that. I need that from United, sir. Maybe Paul Pogba will be back. Who knows? At Fox 3X's, United, quote, happy to get the win, but after we scored the pen, there was absolutely no desire to go get a second. Multiple times someone was high up the pitch with the ball and no one around them attempting any kind of run. You can clearly see their happiness in sitting back, not Man United, sir.
I mean, I think that was true until they had a couple good chances. I think they hit the bar and then United woke up. Bruno woke up and started unlocking things. We should have had extra goals in that second half.
I think you're right. The post did wake us up because that one was, we were kind of lulling a little bit after the penalty. At BryGuy666, quote, having to rely on a penalty to win against the worst team in the league is embarrassing. I know there was a bit of an international break hangover, but Christ, lads, the squad looks so stale. I'm happy we got 3 points, but it was frustrating to watch. Look, I agree with you, BryGuy. I'm going to blame it for now on the international break hangover. You know, a lot of traveling, COVID, everything going on. And like Ole said, they didn't have a lot of time to prepare. But, you know, you get one of those, you don't get two.
I mean, my favorite part of the game was when it ended. It's like, that was the most, it wasn't, there was no relief the whole game because we needed that second goal. We didn't get it. So it felt like it leaves you hanging. Like, you know, it just, you want that second goal. Conviction.
At Bilkstro on Twitter, quote, that win is just papering over the cracks and was undeserved. Everyone involved should be embarrassed. United have scored once from open play at home this season in the league. And that was the first game. Ole needs to go now. People wanted LVG and Josie out. This loss, this dross is acceptable, sir?
I thought we won.
No, but, you know, I think it's just trying to say people wanted LVG and Josie out for not playing, you know, attractive football. And then you're seeing some, I would say the chances were there. Not enough, though.
Not enough, and we didn't take
them.
It's
a valid criticism, you know?
This is like 100 times. I mean, we talk about the same United team. Like, we did not look this good at moments under Ole. She's not Ole. Jose, and definitely under LVG. We didn't play any football over his tenure as good as some of the moments in this game. So it's like, I'm not sure I agree with that, fan. But that's for fans by fans. Everyone's got an opinion, and that's what this pod's all about, baby.
You
got
to rep the harsh Ole, because there's a lot of people that are, look, how are, if, I can totally see on one side of the tracks, the, you guys, we barely beat West Brom. What are you smoking? You think that's a good result? And then you have the kind of glass half full, like, well, Ole needs some time, and yeah, the season might not go well, and we'll know. I think we just said, hey, let's wait till Boxing Day. If we're in 12th, like, yeah, you know, probably need another coach. We'll decide then. I'm trying to just gotta let it materialize, sir. I'm not trying to come at it too hard from any angle, but we need to have all the perspectives on the pod. That's the point. At Red Devil Woody, quote, got the win. That's all that matters. Don't care how it will come by. Hashtag glory, glory, Man United. There you go. You got the other side. At CJ Saz, quote, happy to get all 3 points. Really hoping to see Greenwood soon again. Telus played well at OT. Also, De Gea looked quality. Still a little frustrated that I had to buy the game off Peacock. It didn't go live until 30 seconds before the match. I don't understand that either. The pre-match is on cable, but then you got to go to Peacock to watch the game. We had terrible Peacock service, and then they cut away before halftime.
20 seconds early, which is like unbelievable. It's like you're finishing stoppage time, and they cut to a commercial to sell you insurance or like T-Mobile or something.
Look, we could have a whole podcast dedicated to how terrible Peacock is, but you know, we'll stick on Manchester United. At Ty Kircher, quote, ugly 3 points. Should have had a few more goals with Tony and Marcus, but I'll never complain about 3 points and a clean sheet. I mean, the clean sheet, that's a little cherry on top. Up to 9th Champions League this week. Let's get the train rolling. Glory, glory, Man United. Hashtag Glazers out. I think that's a good mark to end the podcast on. And you got to remember, under Sir Alex, there were ugly games and you just had to win. But you do need to come back. And if we beat Istanbul convincingly and everyone looks on like Rashford, Telus, everything is working, you know, that's something to build upon. But you need things to build upon. So like a tough result, a tough squeaky bum time against West Brom, a loss against Istanbul, and we're in crisis. You know, it's you look to Southampton, then PSG. It's like the fixtures here. You know, I'm going to say TBD on how to feel about it, sir. We just got to ride this wave right now. Hope for the best. Back the lads. Cheer them on because, I mean, it's going to be a hell of a holiday season, sir. We got Thanksgiving, Christmas, football in between. We're going to be here the whole time. I'm moving, sir.
No time to work.
Pot never sleeps.
We got kids. Got wives.
Got kids.
Yeah, we also got kids.
Got kids, too. You remember?
Got to move.
Speaking of kids, I got to get home.
So let's get those top downloads, my
look,
man.
It's been a great pod. Thanks for all the hot banter. We appreciate it. We'll be here. Pod Never Sleeps, American Red Devils for fans, by fans, sir. Support us on Patreon. Drop a review on iTunes if you haven't already. If you want to contribute to the blog, you can email alex.americanreddevils@gmail.com. Absolutely love this club. Love the fans, sir. Let's hear the downloads the last 7 days.
Sir, number one, how you doing? How you doing? Roswell, Georgia. Number two, Portalese, Ireland. Pottstown, PA. Charlotte, North Carolina.
Phoenix, Arizona. St. Louis, Missouri. Union, Missouri. Chicago, Illinois. Ringgold, Georgia. And Acton, Massachusetts, sir. Wow. Hotlanta, Georgia. Los Angeles, California. And Juiz de Fora, Brazil, San Francisco. Sir, keep going.
We got Sydney. We got Dallas. We got Houston. Norway. We got Oslo.
Switzerland.
We got Rangoon, Switzerland. And last but not least, Kingwood, Texas. We did a double this week, sir. 20. Top 20. Appreciate all the downloads. Appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out. I know you wanted 5 goals. I know you wanted 10 goals. I wanted a hat trick. I wanted Bruno Fernandez scoring bicycle kicks. But it's 3 points. It's a clean sheet. And we kick on to the next one.
It's like you wait 2 weeks, sir. You know, you watch it, you're like, I could have
lost.
Could have lost.
Right? Could have lost.
Well said, as always.
Kicking a blue.